Next is in the matter of David J. Bernstein. May we please have appearances?
It's Deputy Ethics Counsel Hillary Horton on behalf of the Office of Attorney Ethics.
And Kim Ringler from the Ringler Law Firm on behalf of the respondent, David J. Bernstein.
And I see Mr. Bernstein on the screen. Mr. Bernstein, you'll have the opportunity, if you would like, to address the court
after Ms. Ringler does. And if you want a break to be able to consult with her privately beforehand, we'll give you that opportunity as well. Ms. Horton, please go ahead.
Yes. May it please the court. The crux of this matter is whether respondent should be disbarred as recommended by a slim DRB majority or suspended for the unauthorized practice of law and gross mishandling of a post-conviction relief petition that he handled in Alabama in the spring of 2013, which resulted in the client, Angela Allen, losing her only chance to pursue a colorable claim of post-conviction relief, and other misconduct, including the unauthorized practice of law and mishandling of the Jerry Joshua criminal matter before the United States District Court for the Eastern District of Virginia, in which respondent started off by hiring local Virginia counsel, but went astray by filing false certifications on two applications for pro hoc vice admission in federal court. Respondent failed to disclose to the federal court that he had been reprimanded by the Florida Supreme Court on February 5th of 2015, which was prior to his application, his pro hoc applications in May and June of 2016. He also failed to disclose to the federal court that in April of 2016, the United States District Court for the District of Kansas, so for Kansas, had admonished him for failure to disclose his Florida reprimand on his pro hoc application there in Kansas, along with his failure to disclose two civil malpractice lawsuits that had been filed against him by clients following bar complaints. After local Virginia counsel, and that's Matthew Harden, became concerned about respondent after doing some internet research and having what he termed concerning interactions with respondent's office, Mr. Harden notified the court that respondent had been reprimanded and the federal court issued order to show cause regarding the misrepresentations on his pro hoc vice applications. Respondent, during those orders to show cause claim, told the court that he did not see a yes or no option to answer the federal court's question on the paperwork regarding the pro hoc applications, and that therefore he did not disclose the reprimand. The federal court, as a result, revoked respondent's pro hoc vice admission in the Joshua case, and then later issued a complete ban on respondent applying for pro hoc admission in that jurisdiction. Even after being banned from working on the Joshua case, respondent refused to refund Mr. Joshua's retainer fee. So those are the two matters, the Allen matter and the Joshua matter, that resulted in the Florida discipline. I would like to take a brief moment, and I will be brief, to address the issue of the doctor's letter that respondent has submitted recently to the court. I will not address his medical diagnosis or conditions, as I know this is a public proceeding. But what I would like to point out, and this is just going to be chronological, is that the doctor attested in his letter that came in December of this year, that in 2012, so we're going back to 2012 specifically, respondent at that time, in his opinion, was still functional, but that he was subjected to particular personal stressors. And that's all I'm going to say about it, but that the dates of those stressors is 2017 and 2018. And at some undelineated point after that, after 2018, the doctor became concerned about respondent's cognitive function. The OAE wants to clarify that the conduct that resulted in the Florida discipline occurred in the Allen matter in spring 2013 through 2014. Prior to the 2017 and 2018 stressors delineated in the doctor's letter, and that the conduct in the second matter, the Joshua matter, occurred in May and June of 2016. And that also is prior to the 2017 and 2018 stressors that are delineated in the doctor's letter. Thus, although the doctor's letter is troubling in and of itself and has resulted in my office opening an investigation into the possibility of moving for transfer for respondent to go on disability and active status, that's what came as a result in my office from that letter. That's, you know, purely what happened procedurally, without saying anything further on that. That would depend in part on the outcome in this proceeding that we're here on today. The letter taken as a whole does not provide justification for the conduct specifically in the Allen or Joshua matters. So that's basically what I wanted to say about that. It did not establish a causal link between his misconduct in Joshua or Allen and his mental or physical status as it existed at the time that he accepted representation of Allen or Joshua. To the contrary, at that time, respondent held himself out as a national attorney to Allen and then refused to answer her questions honestly about the actual and truthful status of his license. In the Joshua matter, respondent never accepted responsibility for his lies of omission on the pro hoc vice applications and seemingly never came clean to Mr. Joshua by refunding his retainer. Thus, and this is my conclusion, the OAE retracts its original determination and recommendation to the Disciplinary Review Board that a one-year suspension, the exact reciprocal discipline of Florida, would be appropriate in our jurisdiction, and instead is adopting or has adopted the DRB majority, the slim majority of the DRB's recommendation that respondent be disbarred. The DRB properly notes that respondent in one form or another has been disciplined in four separate jurisdictions. And the DRB also properly considered what it termed the grievous and irreparable harm caused in particular to the Allen client, the client on the post-conviction relief application, who lost her ability to pursue post-conviction relief at all due to respondent's misconduct. It also considered, and properly in the view of the Office of Attorney Ethics, respondent's reluctance to accept responsibility for his conduct and voluntarily issue complete retainer refunds to either of those clients, Allen or Joshua. Thus, under the totality of the circumstances, the Office of Attorney Ethics is reluctantly constrained to agree with the DRB majority that respondent is irredeemable as an attorney, has evidenced multiple instances of discrete dishonesty, and has not shown significant remorse, and thus should be disbarred. If there's no further questions, I will present on the record as it was established before the DRB.
Questions, anyone? Thank you, Ms. Wharton. Ms. Ringler?
Thank you. May it please the court? Good afternoon. This matter is before the court, pursuant to a motion for reciprocal discipline based on a one-year suspension imposed on Mr. Bernstein's by Mr. Bernstein's home state of Florida's disciplinary authorities, applying the same standard of proof after a full fact-finding hearing and taking into account aggravating and mitigating circumstances. Florida determined that 1 year was appropriate. The Office of Attorney Ethics moved under our rules, 1/2014, to rely on the Florida proceedings and determined that the 1 year was the appropriate quantum of discipline. We ask that you grant the motion as initially made. Here, Mr. Bernstein grossly mishandled one matter and made false statements in connection with another matter. We are not here to minimize his actions and inaction. He accepts full responsibility and deeply regrets his failure to meet the standards of professionalism in these two matters. As a matter of chronology, the monies were fully remitted to the two clients in 2019. Further, the physician's letter does state that in 2012, Mr. Bernstein became, and I quote, progressively worse, unquote, after an experimental surgery he underwent in 2012. Given the procedural foundation of this case, the one-year suspension should be adopted unless the conduct warrants substantially different discipline pursuant to Rule 1/2014A4E. Both the DRB and the Office of Attorney Ethics initially determined that no such standard was met. The precedents and the authorities regarding similar misconduct establish that an admonition to a reprimand is the typical discipline for the misconduct established. Regarding negligence, gross negligence, even when accompanied by harm and prior discipline, can result and has resulted in a reprimand, as in the Burrow case, who and respondent Burrow also suffered from medical problems. Similarly, in Alvarez, a respondent got a mere admonition, even though he grossly neglected two matters, which resulted in a preclusion of a determination on the merits. With respect to the unauthorized practice of law, our precedents point towards a reprimand, cases like Bronson and Benedetto. In Phillips and Perez, those attorneys received mere admonitions for their unauthorized practice. In one case, Davidoff, an attorney did get a 2-year suspension, but his misconduct also included negligent misappropriation. With reference to false representations to a court, our precedents and authorities include the Thyne case, T-H-Y-N-E, who had a disciplinary case history, but nonetheless was reprimanded. And the Duke matter, in which the respondent was censured as a result of multiple offenses, including a failure to disclose that he had been disbarred. Collectively, the appropriate sanction is that imposed in Florida, a 1-year suspension. Thus, under the reciprocal disciplinary proceedings rule, the Florida sanction should be adopted by this court. The underlying events took place in 2013, 14, and 2016. Mr. Bernstein, as I stated at the outset, has fully remitted the funds to the two clients. His complex medical situation constitutes both mitigation and some measure of explanation for his misconduct. He accepts fully that the court should and will discipline him. The appropriate sanction, however, should be in line with the Florida 1-year suspension and the prior authorities, as the Office of Attorney Ethics sought until a few weeks ago. We ask respectfully that this court impose a 1-year term of suspension in the absence of clear authorities establishing that substantially different discipline is called for. At most, the court could consider adopting the view of the 4 DRB members that 2-year suspension is appropriate for the aggregated misconduct. We further respectfully ask that the court take into account that Mr. Bernstein is in his 60s, has never practiced law in New Jersey, and has not practiced at all since his suspension in Florida in July of 2019. Based on those factors, we ask that the court consider imposing a term of suspension retroactively to 2019, when he ceased practice completely. And of course, the court also has the authority to condition reinstatement after a term of suspension upon proof of fitness to resume law practice. As a matter of procedure, this matter comes before the court streamlined based upon our reciprocal disciplinary proceedings rule, in lieu of a full fact-finding process that would have, had the Office of Attorney Ethics so chosen, given an opportunity to explore more fully the facts, circumstances, mitigation, and aggravation. Because of the choice by the disciplinary authorities to proceed on the basis of reciprocal discipline, we respectfully submit that this court is bound to adopt the one-year suspension in the absence of clear and convincing reasons to depart from that quantum of discipline. I thank you for your attention, and I'm prepared to answer any questions. Mr. Bernstein would like, as Chief Justice Ravner invited him to do, accept the opportunity to make a short statement.
Ms. Ringler, can you represent to us, and if not, we'll ask Mr. Bernstein whether he intends to practice in New Jersey in the future?
Mr. Bernstein does not have any present intentions to practice in New Jersey. He feels strongly, and I'm sure he can address this directly, that he is proud of being a member of the bar in New Jersey, and that he would like to preserve the option, even if he never exercised it, to petition for reinstatement following a term of suspension, and not to be forever barred as a result of disbarment, which the five members of the Disciplinary Review Board found was appropriate. Did I answer your question?
Yes, and I'll ask Mr. Bernstein. I see he unmuted. We'll get to you shortly, sir. Questions for Ms. Ringler? Anyone? Thank you, Ms. Ringler. Mr. Bernstein.
Yes, thank you, Judge. May it please the court. Thank you for allowing me to address you today. I do, in fact, take full responsibility for falling short of my responsibilities to my clients and to the courts in the cases currently under consideration before this court. My actions were clearly unprofessional, and I fully understand that this court may discipline me for my actions and or inactions. I deeply regret what I did and what I failed to do. But please understand that I have never intentionally tried to take advantage of a client. Rather, my failings were due, at least in part, to the variety of serious physical and psychological illnesses that have challenged me for many years. And while I never actively practiced in New Jersey since my admission to the bar here in 1984, I have always been proud to say that I was admitted to what has long been reputed to be one of the most thoughtful courts in the country. I respectfully ask that this honorable court allow me to retain my license to practice before the courts of New Jersey after a period of suspension, taking into account that I have not practiced anywhere since 2019. And please do not force me to suffer the indignity of a permanent disbarment at this stage of my life and career. I thank you for your kind consideration.
Does anyone have any questions? Thank you, Mr. Bernstein. Take the matter under advisement.